Romans chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 28. And according as they did not think good to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to practice unseemly things, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil dispositions, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, void of understanding, faithless, without natural affection, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that they who do such things are worthy of death, not only practice them, but have fellow delight in those who do them. And then in the second epistle to Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. So, if anyone be in Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of the God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given to us the ministry of that reconciliation. How that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not reckoning to them their offences, and putting in us the word of that reconciliation. We are ambassadors therefore for Christ, God as it were beseeching by us. We entreat for Christ, be reconciled to God. Him who knew not sin, he has made sin for us, that we might become God's righteousness in him. I was encouraged to speak on the line I'm going to by the hymn that we sang this afternoon, but I'll come on to that in a minute. I was standing in a queue this week and looked behind me, and not quite sure how to say this. There was a woman, and I've never seen such an ugly woman. Really ugly. But it made me think, you know, God doesn't look on the outside. Samuel had to learn that issue. God looks upon the heart. And I want to speak for a few moments about the ugliness of sin. Because in God's sight, that's how he views it. And I read Romans 1 because this is a picture to us of the ugliness of sin. If you actually, so I read it quite slowly, because it's a terrible picture, isn't it? If you go through that list, how abhorrent it really is. And yet, dear friend, there is an echo of that in your heart and mine. You know, when God created the heavens and the earth, he said it was very good. And so it was. Because everything that God does is perfect. And I'll come on a little later to speak about a perfect salvation. Because everything that God does is perfect. But the devil spoiled things, as we know the story only too well. And what was wonderful, what was perfect, what was good, was spoiled. fall by Satan's luring, by the disobedience of man. And so we have this ugly picture. Romans chapter 1. It's interesting, it says that God gave them up to that. It wasn't his design. It wasn't his desire. But man rebelled to such an extent that God said, well, I'm going to give you up to it. That's your state. The wonderful news is that that state can be changed for you and me. If you look to the end of the Bible, in Revelation, there's going to be a situation where things are fixed. It says that he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. It's very solemn. There is coming a day when things will be fixed. But now, there is an opportunity for you to have a change of heart. How wonderful that is, dear friend. I'm not going to go over this list. How ugly sin is. And it says of God that he cannot even look upon evil. He cannot look upon sin. Unfortunately, dear friend, you and I are used to it, aren't we? Let's be honest. We're used to sin. And we live in a world which is completely marred and tainted by sin. That world that God had created in perfection. And what we've read here in Romans chapter 1 is, well, it's just a window on the world, isn't it? Just a picture of the world. And yet, I'm told in the scripture that God so loved the world. That's not the physical world. That's not the political world. It's the world of men. And he so loved the world. And therefore we have this seeming conundrum that God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. And that is the position tonight, dear friend. And you cannot appear in God's presence in sin, because he cannot even look upon it. That is why he had to bring in that 3 hours of darkness, because he cannot look upon sin. We read later, didn't we, that the Lord Jesus, God's beloved Son, was made sin. Made it. So we have this terrible predicament, don't we, here in Romans 1. And yet, Paul, in his grace and wisdom and his knowledge, he unfolds the glad tidings, doesn't he, in Romans. This is the problem here in Romans 1. And if you are without Christ tonight, if you don't have a saviour, then you have a big problem. Before I move on, it's just interesting. It's the end of the chapter there, it says, and not only are they sinning themselves, but they're glad to see others doing it. This is the world we live in, a fellow delight. Sinners love to sin, don't they? And God's judgment is reserved for the sinner. We cannot brush that under the carpet, dear friend. Sin will be answered for. Terrible things are committed, aren't they? And as you get older, you feel them more. The awful things that are going on from day to day. Does all that go unnoticed? No. It says, prepare to meet thy God. Every sin is answerable to God himself. So without Christ, without a saviour, dear friend, you're in a very perilous position. But the good news of the gospel, that there is a remedy. As I said, There is coming a day when things will be fixed. It's a very solemn position. Things will be fixed.
Mm.
The Lord Jesus tells a parable about a man in heaven and a man in hell, doesn't he? Mm. And he says there's a great gulf. What was it? Fixed.
Mm.
Can't move it. Can't get out of it. Mm. Can't get round it. Mm. It's fixed.
Mm.
That's why the gospel is an urgent message.
Mm.
It's today if you will hear his voice.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading that yesterday morning, actually. Hebrews. Today, if you will hear his voice.
Mm.
And that's why the gospel is preached, that you might hear and obey.
Mm.
Not just to say, oh, that's a lovely preaching, or that's an okay preaching, or whatever it happens to be. But if you hear the voice of the Lord, you need to act upon it, respond to it. Because the gospel is preached not just as a nice message, but it's preached for your acceptance and your response. It's something you need to respond to. So we have the ugliness of sin. But there is a remedy, and it's Jesus himself. I read in Corinthians, and it says in verse 19 that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. How wonderful that is. And that's the position tonight, dear friend. God wishes to be reconciled with the sinner. That means you and me. He wants to be reconciled. And that doesn't mean, as political negotiations happen in the world, that there's some sort of compromise. Because there's no compromise with God. You cannot bargain, dear friend, with God. But God has provided a mediator. It says God was in Christ. That means he's come out to you, although you're such a sinner, as we saw in Romans 1. God is coming out to you in Christ. He is the one. It's in him. There's no other party. There's no other treaty. There's no other offer. It's in Christ. Today, tonight, right now, God is wishing to be reconciled with you in Christ. And how did he do it? What is the remedy? The remedy is that God himself became a man. That he might feel our temptations, that he might be identified with us. See, other religions, so-called, they don't identify with the sinner at all. But the wonderful news of the gospel is that God can identify with us because he said, what does it say of Jesus? He became a little lower than the angels. See, angels don't die. Angels don't suffer, but he became a little lower than that. In other words, like you and I, sin apart. Why? Why? It says, on account of the suffering of death. He came that way into Bethlehem's manger, grew up and into manhood, that he might face the cross. What we were reading of this afternoon, why did he go there? Was it just a model? Well, it was a model. There's far more than a model. He came there as a sacrifice for sin. He died for our sins. I like what Paul says. It's so simple. We try sometimes to make things complicated, don't we? But it's simple, really. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried, and he was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. And then we have this profound statement at the end of where we read about that fact that he who knew not sin became sin. This is profound, dear friend. Spurgeon, I think, called it the glorious exchange. He became sin for us, that we might become God's righteousness. I don't understand that, dear friend. But the Bible, God's word, tells me it is so. And by faith, I believe it. Trust and obey is the hymn. It's the only way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so he gives you his righteousness. All that ugliness of sin can be replaced. You know that young man? He had the best robe, didn't he? What is that best robe? It's Christ himself. His righteousness. And so God can look at me, not as that awful person in Romans 1, but as a new creature. And that's where I started. If anyone is in Christ, and I like that, dear friend, if anyone, that excludes no one. Doesn't matter how sinful you are. If anyone be in Christ, what is it? He's a new creature. How different from Romans 1? He's a new creature. And it's all because of Jesus and his work on Calvary. Him who knew no sin became sin for us. I just commend it to you tonight, dear friend, that you might have to do with the Saviour. Put your trust in him. One, it is still called today. It's a very desperate world out there, and people are very desperate too. There's a lot of people that have no hope. Thank God we have someone in whom we can believe, who suffered and died and rose again. What hope that is. If Christ be not raised, it says we're the most miserable. And there's plenty of miserable people. And they're miserable because they're still stuck in that list in Romans 1. But you don't have to be tonight. You can be changed. Gospel talks about being transferred from the kingdom of Satan the kingdom of the Son of his love. You can have that happen to you. Your heart can be changed. Thinking of Paul recently, that man, insolent, overbearing. He would fit into Romans. Well, he wrote Romans 1. He would fit into it. An insolent, overbearing man. How ugly that might look. And yet we have the wonderful epistles of Paul. What changed? He saw Jesus. Where? Where did he see him? He saw him at God's right hand. Light above the brightness of the sun struck him down. Sometimes, you know, we have to be struck down. We're so proud, and I think that's in the list in Romans 1. We have to be struck down sometimes, but it's better to be broken than be end up in the judgment. Talks about that stone, that you either fall on it or it falls on you. Which is it going to be tonight? Are you going to give in to the claims of grace? I love that hymn, you know, it talks about every barrier broken down, just as I am. No, some people, and we've got them, some people coming to the gospel in Worthing, and they've heard the gospel many times, and yet seemingly no reaction. They put up barriers, don't they? Every barrier broken down. It's when you get to that point, like that young man in Luke 15, came to himself. God may be in his ways, but get you to that point where you come to the end of yourself and you realize there's no hope apart from Christ. There's no other solution apart from him. The one who became sin, that we might be God's righteousness. So if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. How wonderful that is. I just want to say one thing finally. You know, the Lord Jesus, he says there is no beauty that we should desire him. Left alone of men, we referred to Isaiah 53, and it just struck me when I was thinking about this subject, if you like, theme. There is no beauty, naturally, that we see in the Lord. And there's millions out there tonight who see no beauty in Jesus. You know, God would speak to you tonight and say, as he said in the scripture, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." And if not before, may your eyes be open tonight to see Jesus for who he really is. Not just as a man that taught wonderful things, not just as a teacher, but as the Son of God. As Paul said, the Son of God who loved me. I often think of that, you know, Paul, such an intellectual man, wasn't he? He was very, very clever, naturally, and an intellectual, well-taught man. But he could say very simply, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How simple, and yet how profound that is. And so tonight, dear friend, maybe if never before, if you've never taken account of Jesus, maybe you've had the world's view. There's no beauty in him that we should desire him. And yet God's grace will bring you to that point. God's mercy will bring you to that point where you say, yes, he is my Saviour. And you begin to see beauty in him. The psalmist says, my eyes shall see the King in his beauty. That face that was once marred than any man's was spat upon. Thy visage marred, the hymn says. And yet we will look upon him in his beauty. So we say, thy beauteous Lord, thy holy precious worth, surpassing far the deepest joys of earth. May tonight, if you've never before, come to Christ in all your need, in all your ugliness, if I can put it that way, ugliness of sin, be transformed by his power. But that work that he did on Calvary, which enables you to be a new creature in Christ, may it be so for his name's sake.
Amen.
Maybe we can sing the hymn on the same page as we started with 358.